just praise you, Lord, and thank you for Brother David. Lord, anoint him afresh as it brings your word to our hearts. Bless him mightily as only you can this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Let me step down here for just a second. We will. The blindfold's coming off. Okay, we got that. And the very last slide I actually added to it. Do you love the Lord this morning? Are you ready to worship God? Five of you. Are y'all ready to worship God this morning? That's right, in the Word. You know, we worship God singing and we worship God in the Word. Amen. You know, Brother, you just said something very so significant. It struck me harder than it's ever struck me before when you received an offering. You said, Lord, help us to win the lost at any cost. Wow, that is so powerful. Man, that is powerful. And I know, how many mean that? I mean, you really mean it. Okay? Over the next 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks, we're going to tell you how to help you win the lost. Matter of fact, when I do marriage counseling, right to start with, when I start talking with the couples, I find out what's going on, find out what's happening, and then I actually pull them aside and say, now before I say, you know, ask the husband, like, work on your wife, just start work on her. Well, if you work on the husband, you work on him. And I say, well, you know what, before we can ever get started, wife, you have to work on yourself, and husband, you have to work on yourself. That's a hard job to do, but that's what we do. You got to work on yourself, because most of the time, if you work on yourself, things have an easier way of working out. Did you know that? No matter who you have a problem with today, no matter if it's serving the Lord, if it's working for Him, if it's whatever, at work, in your family, if you're having a problem today, I can promise you that things will work out better if you work on, you're saying, God, work on them. God, change them. God, can you get through their hard head? Have you ever said that? Nobody has ever said that. Okay. Well, I have. And you know what God always tells me? Let me get through your hard head first. Amen. So, that's what we're going to talk about, the Beatitudes. We're going to talk about, well, you want to win the lost at any cost. You want to see your life better. You want to see your life better to your wife, your children, on your job. We're going to talk about the Beatitudes. You know, I didn't know what to call it. So I've got a whole bunch of titles up at the first one. As the weeks go by, we'll change it. We'll find a different title. But it's like this, you know. Walking, an Indian once said, don't judge me till you walk a mile in my moccasins. Amen? There was a man crossing the street. And as he steps off the curb, a car comes screaming around the corner and heads straight for him. The man walks faster, trying to hurry across the street, but the car changes lanes and is still coming to him. So the guy turns around to go back, but the car changes lanes again and is still coming to him. By now, the car is so close, the man is so scared that he just freezes and he stops in the middle of the road. The car gets real close and swerves at the last possible moment, screeches to a halt right beside him. The driver rolls down the window. The driver is a squirrel. The squirrel says to the man, see, it's not as easy as it looks, is it? So we're going to talk today, we're going to talk about Beatitudes. Get your Bible out. Stand for the reading of the Word, Matthew chapter 5. Look at somebody and tell me you're looking good today. That's right. God is awesome all the time. All right. Matthew chapter 5. When these guys happened to hear Jesus say this, I'm pretty sure some of them, when they heard him, and they actually heard him in the original language, I'm pretty sure when they heard him, some of them probably said, Lord, do you hear what you're saying? Lord, do you really understand what you're saying to us? And so many times we get the word out and we just scan it. Just so we can say, God, I've read my chapter for today, and you have no idea what it said. God, I've read my chapter for this week, and I'm fine, and have no idea what you read. Well, we're going to stop, and we're going to hit these Beatitudes, and we're going to hit them hard, each one once a week, and I promise you that it will actually be very, very blessed to hear this. Blessed, get it? Okay. And verse 1 says, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. How many wants to see God? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you, and men shall revile you and persecute you, and they shall say manner of all evil against you falsely for my sake. Anybody been lied on before? Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. And I'm going to throw this in just, you know, as a freebie. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, where it shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you, God, that you're an awesome God, you're a powerful God, that there's absolutely nothing in our lives, God, that gets past you. We know, God, that when somebody is reviling us or when somebody is coming against us, Lord, you're there, you see it, you know, you understand how it feels, and you can do something about it. Father, we also know, Lord, in all these instances with the Beatitudes, God, we face all these things every day. But God, you give us a promise in all of this, that when the world's turning upside down, you're going to be there to turn it right back up, right side up in a very powerful way. I ask you right now, Lord, to minister mightily to us and through us, Father. Help us, God, to see the Beatitudes like never before. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and the church said, look at somebody, give them a high five, low five, or whatever kind of five. Tell them God is awesome. God is awesome. I got all kinds of pictures of the Beatitudes. If you notice here, the Beatitudes are actually shaped like a cross. I want y'all to pay attention to this. The Beatitudes are shaped like a cross. I didn't know exactly what to name this, and so I said the humility, the first step to happiness. How many want to have a happy life? How many want to have a powerful life? Then we're going to tell you. You listen to the next few weeks, you're going to see your life. If you're not practicing this, if you'll practice what you hear, something powerful will take place in your life. See, God's in the exchange business. He wants you to give him your sorrows, and he wants to give you joy. He wants you to give him your problems. He's going to give you power. So God wants us to exchange with him, and he's going to do something powerful. I got up here, and you'll understand in a minute, be one, blessed are the poor in spirit. Also, I've got let go my ego. Remember, let go of my ego? All right, let go of my ego. So here we go. Vitamins are beneficial. Everybody knows that. It's like B vitamins are my favorite vitamins because they actually contribute to producing energy in your body. Did you know that? You know, that's why they have, you see, you know, you can sit there and get the 5-hour energy and all this other stuff, and there's stuff that has caffeine in it. Yesterday, I wish my wife was here so she could get a good chuckle. Yesterday, I bought some chocolate-covered coffee beans. I bought some dark ones, and I bought some multicolored ones. And my dad was down from Greensboro, my brother from Raleigh. And so I carried the candy-coated ones there, and I get them all to taste some, and they're all eating them. And before I knew it, I'd probably eat about 5, 6, 7. And I said, you think these are good? Let me go get the bitter ones. So I could get the one with the bittersweet chocolate, and I bring them over there. Before I knew it, I'd eat 5, 6, 7. I come in the house, and my wife said, David, honey, dear, can you slow down? And I said, I'm going slow. She says, Daniel says, Dad, can you go to Lowe's with me? So I'm going to Lowe's, and Daniel gets a text, and Daniel looks over here and says, Dad, Linda told me to make sure you don't eat any more chocolate-covered coffee beans. P.S. lets you walk home. So, B vitamins. They can do like that too without having the effects of the caffeine. B vitamins produce energy. Do you know that B vitamins actually help your outlook on life? They can help you see things a little clearer. They can help clear the fog in your mind. I tell people all the time, if they're having problems with depression or something, get some B vitamins. It'll help you. It helps your outlook. It also helps you to build strength, you know. So here you go. Why wouldn't you want to take something that was that good for you, that was not going to harm you? So there's B vitamins. But now Jesus gives us some B vitamins. His B vitamins give us energy. It improves our outlook. How many can stand some outlook improvement? Amen. And it can also provide strength. So these B vitamins that God produces are called the Beatitudes. That's why I've got B1 in the very beginning of this thing for the title, B1. They're called the Beatitudes. So watch this. Let me ask you a question. It's just us talking. What would it take to make everybody in here happy? What would it take to make you happy today? What would it take if I said, okay, God said, I'll give you the stores open. The stores open and the doors open. Whatever it takes to make you happy. They asked 52,000 Americans in Psychology Today, and here it is up here. Well, what would it take to make you happy? Here's the top answers. Friends and social life, having a good job, being in love, recognition and success, sex, personal growth, good financial situation, having a nice home or apartment, being attractive and beautiful, being married. Now I remember one time before, I pulled out a list similar to this in a church, and I actually thought a deacon was going to get killed. Because I just had two or three things. Some of you said you'd be happy if you were married. Some of you would be happy if you could get unmarried. And the deacon said, amen, brother. And if his wife's eyes had been electrical, he'd have fried, right? Matter of fact, I think she rode home, and I think I might have carried him home. I can't remember how that worked. What would it take to make you happy? You see, this survey, and surveys like it, I've read a bunch of surveys, and the surveys all, they mostly attempt to find happiness like this through external situations. It's always external. Or when circumstances are right, I'll be happy. Now, have you ever heard the when and then thinking? When this happens then. You know, here's how it goes. When I get married, then I'll be happy. When I lose 2 pounds. Okay, 20. 5. I'll be happy. When I win the lottery, I'll be happy. It's proven the people that win the lottery, most of those people are the saddest people in the world. They thought winning the lottery was going to make them happy, and instead it actually ran them into bankruptcy, and it really ruined their lives. And so, just now, what would it take to make you happy? I want you to think about something. Is it possible to be happy even if your circumstances aren't perfect? Wow. Is it possible to be happy even if your circumstances are not perfect? Happiness is not based on circumstances. Remember this, it is not based on circumstances. Your happiness, remember now, happiness and joy. I want you to think about something. Now, the word happiness comes from the root word for happenings. Joy comes from a relationship. Happiness comes from what's happening around you. Happiness. But when you're a child of God, you're not stuck to the surrounding problems around you. You've got joy kicked in there, and you've got a relationship with God. So it's based on attitude. Circumstances change. They will change. How many saw the Mighty Army yesterday? It said, said, you cannot control everything. That's why God gave us hair, to show us that. Think about it for a minute. You cannot control everything. Oh, somebody got it. All right. But the right attitude is going to change you. When the right attitude is active in your life, watch this, then you become like Christ. Here we're talking about the Beatitudes. Here we go. Ready? Let's go through some of this Beatitudes. Matter of fact, we're only going to do one. We're going to read all of them for a minute. Let's read them again. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. For those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. For those the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. The merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The pure in heart, for they shall see God. The peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. For those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. For you, when they revile and persecute you, and shall say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you, Matthew 3 through 12. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? Here's my question. Here's where we're going to go today. We're going with this one. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? Let me tell you something. To be poor in spirit has absolutely nothing to do with your wallet. Sometimes people ask me, do I want to buy something? I say, let me see my financial advisor. I'll ask him. His name is Bill. They say, really? Where's Bill live at? I said, hold on. I'll get him right now. Can I afford it?
No.
All right. Poor in spirit. Let me just kind of put some words around this. What it does not mean. Because people get this wrong. They get it wrong all the time. When I'm talking to them, they say, I'm trying to be poor in spirit, or I'm trying to be humble. I'm trying to let God use. Watch this. It does not mean to have no value. It does not mean to have low self-esteem. It does not mean that I have to put myself down. Low or poor spirit does not mean any of those three things. But people that I talk to every day, there's people I talk to every day, and if you either by the way they act or either tell me, they think it's poor spirit. Got no value, low self-esteem. Jesus didn't die for junk. He died for people. Jesus did not give his life for junk. We are powerful people. We have value. We are worth something. We have purpose. We are significant. Don't let the devil play this little game with you, spiritual game, that you've got to think you're nothing to be poor in spirit. It's far from that. Some of the greatest people I know, some of the most powerful people I know, are poor in spirit. I can name them off. I can name off people right now. And you go, that person's not poor in spirit. That person's always on top of things. That person is always lively. That person's always trying to help people. Uh-huh. You see, poor in spirit, I got value. I don't have to have low self-esteem. I ain't got to put myself down. Matter of fact, well, what does it mean? Watch this. This is cool. Y'all get ready. Now, this sermon is still toe optional, but get ready. What does it mean? We need to have an attitude of humility. When it comes to our relationship with God, we need to realize that we're all level on the same ground. And we all depend on Him for our salvation. Pure in spirit simply means humility. That's it. To be humble. Pure in spirit does not mean walk around with the mully grubs. Pure in spirit does not mean walk around where people say, if I got to be like him, I don't want to be like that to get to heaven. No, that's not what it's about. Humility, I love this. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. Woo! Y'all can shout right there. Go ahead and shout. Give it a hand clap. Do something. Let me know you're out there. Patrick done hit that switch. Here she goes. I know he don't know any better. I mean, he knows how to work that, but he don't know what I've got going on. I told Linda this morning, I'm going to fix it, so I just got to hit the button once. That's what I've done. Amen. Amen. So look, watch this. Watch this now. Humility is not thinking of yourself less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Humility is not admitting that you what this is. Men, how many here find it real easy to say you're sorry? Men. I see one, two, and a half. And an elbow. So some act like they're bidding on something. Sometimes it's hard to say I'm sorry, especially for guys. How many fix-it guys in here find it hard to say, I really have no idea? Here it goes, I saw it there. Well, see, humility is, watch this, I love this. I'm going to help you today to walk out of here with a lot of weight off your shoulders. How many would love to walk out of here with a lot of weight off your shoulders? Would you want to walk out? If I told you you could walk out of here and you'd feel so much better, watch this. Humility is admitting that you do not have it all together. Oops. Did I say that? Humility is admitting I don't have it all together. I'm going to say it even louder. Humility is admitting I don't have it all together. I may be Paw-Paw. I'm Paw-Paw Superman. But Paw-Paw gets tired. And Paw-Paw don't have all the answers. And sometimes Paw-Paw just finds a way to get the youngins back to their house. You know the prodigal said, I can just make it home. I've said it a million times. God, if you just let me get to Daniel's house or Tamala's house or Nick's house, I will do it again, praise God, but I won't do it today. Take them. So I don't have to have it all together. Number two, I don't know it all. You know, I met people that know they know it all. They've got every answer. The problem is they don't know the questions. Amen. I don't know. There's times when I'm doing counseling, times I'm trying to help somebody spiritually go, I need you to tell me something, Pastor, you the man. And I go, look, we're going to have to talk to God about this. I don't know the answer. The worst thing you can do is somebody's getting pouring their heart out to you is going, oh no. Tell me more, all right. You see, God wants us to realize the universe doesn't revolve around us. It doesn't. You might have the humility this man did. This man wrote the best-selling book, Humility and How I Attained It. The 10 most humble men in the world and how I chose the other 9. Okay. Humility means I admit to God that, God, I need your help. God, I need your help. Now, how many you said you're ready to get some weight off your shoulders, right? If you'll listen to these three things, I promise you, when you leave out of here, you'll be skipping. Matter of fact, when y'all go out and see people skipping out the door, oh, I feel so good. I feel so light. Three benefits of humility. I want you to remember these three benefits. If you remember these three benefits, you will feel lighter when you leave this place today. All right, ready? Number one, it reduces stress. How many got stress in their life? I ain't got any stress in my life. Why are you bringing it up? I don't have any stress. Oh, okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. When I know that I don't have all the answers, a great burden's lifted off my shoulders. It reduces a lot of stress in my life. You know, Muhammad Ali when he was in his prime. Y'all remember Muhammad Ali? Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Don't mess around with Muhammad Ali. I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest. Well, Muhammad Ali was when he was in his prime. He was about to take off on an airplane flight. The stewardess reminded him to fasten his seatbelt. He came back brash and said, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." She came back quickly and said, "Yeah, Superman don't need no airplane either." He said, "Yes, ma'am," and buckled his seatbelt. Get ready. I know I got them coming fast, and they're coming before I get to them, but that's okay. It's not his fault, it's mine. I went ahead and just threw them up there. All right, ready? I don't have to solve everybody's problems. Oh, come on, y'all. "But daddy, I don't understand. But son, I don't understand either. But honey, if you could just figure this out. If I could figure this out, I'd be in the Pentagon somewhere. Defusing missiles. I don't know." Somebody help this with me. Help me. Y'all say this with me. Ready? On three, I want you to say, "I don't know." Ready? One, two, three. "I don't know." Woo! Some of y'all, it's the first time you said it in a long time. One more time. On three. One, two, three. "I don't know." And I have fun. I'll put on everybody. I'm going to Target. I love to wear that red shirt. Because I walk through Target with a red shirt on, everybody goes, "Excuse me, sir." And every now and then I get a little mean streak going. And they go, "Excuse me, sir, can you tell me where such and such is at?" And I go, "I don't know and I don't care." Now say, "Y'all, hold on, I don't work here, I'm just playing with you." Okay, I don't solve everybody's problems. I cannot solve everybody's problems. If I could solve everybody's problems, I'd be God. One more time, now we're going to do this. All three, I want you to say, "I cannot solve every problem." Ready? One, two, three. "I cannot solve every problem." All right! I'm glad you finally admitted it. Go on! I don't have all the answers, but I can point you to the one who does. Amen? I don't have to play God, but I can show you the way to God. Do you know what your job is on this earth? Is to be a guide to Jesus. That's your job. You're not to have all the answers. You should be able to tell people, this is where you go. You go to him. He's got all the answers. If you don't know how to go to him, let me tell you how to get to him. That's how you get a whole lot of stress off of you. Amen? Just try today. Just somewhere, somehow. Now, don't make it up now. If you know the answer, don't tell them, "I don't know." We just go, I don't know, buddy. I don't know. But I know someone who does. His name is Jesus. Now, if you don't know how to get to Jesus, I can't help you get to him, but you got to talk to him because he's got the answer. So number one, it reduces stress. How many feel better already since you said those few sentences? Don't you feel? I can tell by the way you're responding. You're feeling better. Amen. So number one, it reduces stress. Number two, humility actually improves relationships. Here's a good one. You know, Maddie, my dog, was going crazy one day. I can figure out why she's going crazy. She's a lab don't do that. And she finally found a little mirror close to her. And she saw herself. And then she barked even louder because the other dog was barking back just as loud. Every time she'd make a face, that dog would make a face back at her. Made her so mad. It took her weeks to figure out that was her, and I'm still not sure it's her, but now when she goes by, she kind of goes by and goes. My biggest relationship problem, my biggest one, I'll be honest, I'm going to be open. My biggest relationship problem is with me. And if you'll be honest, your biggest relationship problem is not with the person beside you, in front of you, behind you. Your biggest relationship problem is with you. How many times have you looked in the mirror spiritually or mentally, didn't even realize you've been looking in the mirror, and you're barking, and everybody's standing around going, what in the world's going on? And you're just like Maddie. And don't realize that you're the one that's making yourself mad. So if you want to improve relationships, first it's got to start with you. Now, if it's going to start with me, then before I start working with others, then my first person's got to be God. He's the first one I got to go to. So if I go to God, watch this. You've read this, y'all can read it with me. If my people who were caught together means all at one time. Ready? It's right up there. If my people who were caught by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Wow. Yes, I'll suck. Now, there's four steps to improve your relationship with God. Here it is right here. Number one, you got to humble yourself. Now, why does humble yourself mean? Why does he say humble yourself and pray and seek God's face? Well, humbling yourself gets you in a position to connect with God. Because as long as you're calling the shots, God steps back. Parents, how many times have you tried to tell your child something, they wouldn't listen, so you just step back? Said, okay, after you tear it all to pieces, you'll figure out Daddy knows what he was talking about. My youngest, I don't even have to say it anymore. I haven't said it in years. My youngest will come to me and go, say it, Dad, say it. And I say what? Go ahead, Dad, say it. You know you want to. Say what? Inside I'm going. Outside I'm going. What are you going to tell me? Go ahead, Dad, say it. I told you so. I ain't got to. You already told yourself that I told you so. Sometimes we're too busy doing it our way. And God says, humble yourself and pray. Not only we got to get in a position to receive, but then you got to actually do something. Don't just sit there. Do something. It's like the batter getting in the batter box. That's humbling himself. Then they're throwing pitches, but they never swing. You got to do something. Don't sit there with the bat on your shoulder. Do something. So now, humble yourselves. Position. Pray. Actually start verbalizing your problems to God. But when you verbalize them to him, don't just go, here it is, God, you fix it while I'm on the way taking care of it myself. Nobody's ever done that, have you? So pray and then seek God's face. That is the proper way to handle your problems. I'm seeking his face because if God's looking at it, how many would say, I can't figure something else, but if I can get something, and any name off that person, if I can get their eyes on it, they can fix it. Anybody ever said that? Anybody ever said that to you to come to you and say, look, at work, I don't know what I'm doing with this, but if I can get your eyes on it, it'd get fixed. That's what it is. Humble yourself. Get in a position to receive from God. Pray and then seek his face. Put his eyes on it. Get God's perspective on what's going on. So if you get God's perspective on what's going on, then turn from your wicked ways. Of course, I got to stop sinning there, but also turn from your wicked ways. Sometimes the sin is simply doing it your way. It's like, God, I want it my way or the highway. And you find out it's a long walk home. God, I need you to do this, 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 and this, and let me know when you get it fixed, and I'll come back and talk to you again. No, that's not how it works. You got to stop doing it your way. So number one, it reduces stress. Number two, it improves relationships with God. But not only does it improve relationships with God, it improves relationships with others. How many would like to know that you and others are getting along? Do you know that when our relationship with God improves, it puts us in a position for our relationship with others to improve every time? Every time. This isn't something I made up. You'll find it in the Bible. You'll find it all over. Once you improve your relationship with God, it puts you in a position to improve your relationship with everybody around you. Because once you're seeking God and letting God seek His face in situations, God is telling you things and showing you things you may not always do. Ephesians 4 and 2. I like this. Ephesians 4 and 2 says, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. Whew. You mean I got to put up with that person? You know, it's like the guy's wife could sing. She couldn't sing. Man, she couldn't sing. She wanted to join the choir. He was trying to encourage her. Manny was trying to encourage her. And he said, you just need to practice more. Practice, practice, practice. You know, practice makes perfect. Let me tell you something. Practice does not make perfect. Practice makes permanent. Doing it right makes it perfect. This woman just keeps singing. Oh, oh, oh. And she noticed that every time she was practicing for the choir, he'd be outside on the porch. And she said, honey, I thought you enjoyed my singing. He said, well, I do. Forgive me, Lord. I do. She said, well, how come every time I go to practice, you step out on the porch? She said, I just want to let the neighbors know I weren't beating you. So watch. That's a little bit different than what I'm talking about. Let me just break this down. Living as becomes you with complete lowliness of mind, humility, and meekness, unselfishness, gentleness, mildness, with patience, bearing with one another, and making allowances because you love one another. Making allowances. Wow. Sometimes we're so busy trying to have it our way that we can't make allowances for somebody to try to show you a better way or a different way. So sometimes I have found out in my life that once I made allowances, that David Linton really didn't know it all. But David Linton didn't know how to fix it. And because I let somebody else come along and I made allowances for them, I learned a better way. Matter of fact, you hear me say it all the time. Sometimes people, God sends people in your life as sandpaper. That's enjoyable. Thank you, God, for that sandpaper session. Is there another time you can get another side? Because this arm is totally raw. We'll try it again. God sends some people in your life as sandpaper to help you get rid of the rough edges. What's so cool about it is, after he sends you the sandpaper, he'll send somebody else as that cooling salve. That when you've felt enough sandpaper scratching, it'll cover it up and make it feel better. So now, here we go. Number three. So look now, are you already feeling lighter? Some of you are looking like it. Some of you are holding yourself up in the seat even higher. Number three. Humility releases God's power. Did you know that? I hear people say all the time, I want to have more God's power in my life. And then you tell them, well, you need to be humble. Well, that thing humble is weak. I can't be humble and I can't have His power. The strongest man I have ever known was also the humblest I've ever known. He carried a cross up a hill. He weren't weak. He could have called 10,000s of thousands of angels to deliver him or even carry the cross. The toughest man I know. And I like that song. It says they hit him and he turned the other cheek. Don't think for a minute he was weak. Because in the end, He prevailed. He showed them that he was tougher than nails. Wow. Humble. Humble. Humility is not weakness. Moses was the meekest man ever lived. Moses was not a weakling. Look at all the stuff he had to do. So watch this. God resists the proud. The proud sometimes is just, I'm going to do it my way. I don't understand why God's not answering my prayers. I told him how to fix it. I mean, it's clear cut. God, you do this, this, and this, and it's fixed. Aren't you glad I told you? I made your job easier today. Here you, God. Bump, bump, bump. Fix it. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourselves, I love this, demote or lower yourselves in your own estimation under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you, casting all the hope of your care upon him, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately, he cares about you watchfully. Spiritual power is given to those who walk humbly before the Lord. God gives strength to those who realize that they need to depend on him. I humble myself before him, and he strengthens me. There's been times where I walked away and somebody said, you're going to take that. Back in my younger days, I said, no, I ain't going to take that. I'll go back and give him a piece of my mind. And I found out later I couldn't afford to give away any of that. Matter of fact, I've given away too much of it already. Amen. All right. See, he's feeling better already. I found out. Somebody says, you going to take that? Yeah, I am. Why? Because God's got this. You know, somebody asked me the other day, just the other day, not in this church, somewhere else. Somebody asked me, they said, this person here done me wrong. I said, yeah, I know they did. And then there was another person that done them wrong. And the person that I considered had done them the worst wrong over a long period of years, they just accepted back in, just like that. And the other person, they wouldn't even talk to. And I said, can I ask you a question? I said, how can I forgive this person? And I said, well, let me ask you a question. How'd you forgive the other person? They said something very profound. They said, because I don't seem to have the same history with that person that I do with. I said, that's good. That's real good. I said, now you're expecting me to tell you, then go ahead and keep on giving them the silent treatment, right? It's okay. You can go ahead and be upset. It's fine. I said, you ain't going to hear it. And they said, what are you going to tell me? I said, I remember, again, the toughest man I know, when they threw his back. It was beat to a pulp. Threw his back on that rugged, nasty cross. And as they beat those nails through his body, and they thrust him in the air naked before the whole world, he said, the first thing he said was, forgive them, Lord. They know not what they do. Let's go put it down in our talk. Forgive them, God, because they didn't realize what they were doing. There's a lot of people in your life that's hurt you, and they didn't realize they were hurting you. And you're mad at them now. Me just mentioned it. You probably got your list out. You can write down the people's name. Now, does that mean you got to go back and be honey? I mean, just make, you know, maybe honey and sugar and everything's, no. But until you can forgive them, you're going to have a problem with that power. Now, so watch this. I didn't say you had to make over them and welcome all, you know, like the father did with the prodigal. I'm not talking about that. But if you could say, God, forgive them, for they didn't realize how bad they were hurting me, your life would change at that moment. The next day, that person called me and said, thank you so much. I feel so much lighter. So watch. Jesus said, I mean, so how to do this? This is what I told this person, and here it is up here. My grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness. In other words, God's power comes to you when you honestly just can't go anymore. You heard a story about the young man that was drowning. His brother was sitting there beside him. His brother was a prolific swimmer. His brother couldn't swim at all. His brother's in the water drowning. The guy comes up, his brother's hollering for help, and he's just sitting on the pier. And they said, why are you sitting on the pier? Your brother's drowning. He said, I know. His brother kept struggling and screaming, hollering and going down and coming up and going down and coming up. And his brother couldn't swim, or could swim, was sitting right there. And he said, somebody said, help him! We can't help him. You're the only one that can help him. Help him! He just keeps looking. And finally, his brother goes down. When his brother goes down, he jumps off the pier. He goes out and gets him. He brings him back in. He saves him. And they looked at him and said, why did you wait so long to help him? He said, because if I'd have gone out there when he's trying to fix it, he'd have drowned both of us. He said, well, this is my words. When he stopped trying to fix it, then I could help him. Some of us, we can learn to quit trying to fix it in our weakness. Yes, I don't know the answers. No, I'm not God. No, I don't know how to get this fixed. Watch what God can do. See, this, watch this. I love this. Put it there, bro. You've often heard it said, leave it right there. You've often heard it said, God helps those that help themselves. Have you ever heard that? Now the Bible don't specifically have that in verse. This is verse 29, 64, blah, blah, blah. It's not there. It's implied throughout the Bible. But the actual verse is not there. But watch this. God helps those that help themselves, kind of, sort of. Matter of fact, go ahead, hit it again. The truth is, this is not a true statement. The truth is, God helps those who realize they can't help themselves. He expects us to do our best. He expects us to do everything we can to get it right, but he expects us to rely on him for strength. When I admit I need him, then he steps in. It's not a sign of weakness to ask God to step in and help me. So now, watch this. Today, you saw that humility actually is a very powerful thing because it helps reduce stress, it helps improve relationships, and it helps release God's power in your life. Watch this. If I had to have a song for blessed are the poor in spirit, here'd be my song. Learning to lean. Learning to lean. Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I've ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Wow. I need to learn to lean on self less, on others more, and on God always. Wow. 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 Don't you already feel pressure coming off your back? If you can practice this, God, you say, well, how do I go about God helping the poor in spirit? There it is. If you're nothing else, if you can't think of anything else, do just start walking around singing. Learning to lean. Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Let me put this in here. I want you to, everybody stand up. God is awesome. I've never, ever seen the righteous forsaken. bread.
Learning to lean, learning.
Come up here, Sister Brenda. You're going to finish playing this for us.
I'm learning.
Want y'all look at me, just watch it. God, I don't understand how I can have so much power when I'm so weak. But God, I realize meekness is not weakness. I thank you, Father.
Sad, brokenhearted.
Thank you, Father. Lord, help me.
I found.
Help me, Lord.
That is so.
Help me, Father.
So
I definitely want to see my stress level reduced.
And
God, I definitely want to see humility improve relations.
Is a childlike
God,
trust.
I definitely want to see your power.
And a heart that is learning.
Father,
to lean.
I need you. I need you. I need you. If you're here this morning and you'll say, Pastor, I'm having a hard time leaning on Jesus. Stress is about to tear me apart. My relationships are crumbling and I don't feel your power. Jesus said, blessed. That word blessed means happy. Focused. Happy. Help me, Lord. Learn to lean. If you got a need from God this morning, while this is playing and Sister Brenda's going to take on after it, I want you to come on up here. Come on up here. God, the stress is killing me. God, I need to work on my relationships. God, I need to see your power. Whatever you need today, whether it be sickness, you need healing for sickness, whatever. God, I need you. Will you start coming to this altar? Start coming to the altar. Come on up here to this altar. Ask God. Tell him what's going on. Tell him what's going on. Tell him what's going on. It's okay. It's okay. You don't know everything. It's all right. I don't have all the answers. It's okay. I can't fix it, God. That's okay. God, I cannot fix it. I need you to fix it. God, I don't know how to handle it, Lord, anymore. You do. I've tried on my own to make it work. It's not working. God, I need you. God, I need you. God, I need you. God, I need you. I can't. Lord, you've got to do it for me. Every time I try, I mess it up. Father, touch right now in the name of Jesus. Take care of it, God. Nobody can take care of it like you can, Lord. Nobody. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lamb of God. Praise the Lamb of God. Praise the Lamb of God. Lord, Lord, whatever it takes. Lord, whatever it takes. Lord, whatever it takes. Father, I love you. God, I love you. And I praise your name. I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you, God, for what you're doing. I thank you, God, for what you're doing. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to count to three, and I want y'all to repeat after me, all right? I'll say it first, and y'all say it after me, all right? I just do it this way. I don't have it all together. Y'all say that. I don't know it all. I don't have to solve everybody's problems. I can't solve everybody's problems. But I can point them to you, Lord. And you have it all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Beatitudes. I like that word be because it means in the present tense. Now. God, I need help now. I mean, I needed it yesterday, and I need it tomorrow, but I need it right now. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I don't have to have all the answers. All I can do is hold your hand. My grandbaby was walking me yesterday through Lowe's. And, of course, she said something very profound. She's walking around, kind of walking around. Daniel's trying to get something, so I'm trying to take care of her. So she's walking all around, and I said, girl, I put my hand on like this, and she grabbed my hand. Once she grabbed my hand, she just smiled. We're walking through, and it's just something so profound and low. She says, Papa, they don't have a toy section in here. And I said, no, the toy section is for your daddy in here. And she said, oh. I said, don't worry. You got a hold of Pawpaw. So she walks over to the candy section that I showed her. And she said, they're cool, Pawpaw, but I ain't got no money. I said, whose hand are you holding? And she said, Pawpaw. I said, you pick out what you want. So she got it. She said, I got to ask Daddy, can I have it? I said, but before you ask him, and I pulled the money out and put it in her hand, I said, you tell him when you ask him, I've already got the money. And so I kind of snuck around and followed her, and she said, Daddy, can I have this? And he goes, girl, she says, I've already got the money. And Daniel went, Paul, Paul. So she got this little bitty thing that goes up and lick on it. And she says, Papa, this is cool. When it goes running up, you can lick on it. She says, it don't matter if the dogs lick it. Or you dropped it. And she said, stick out your tongue, Papa. Let you taste it. God wants us to have that same kind of humility. I'm holding God's hand. He's going to lead me. He's going to guide me. He's going to take care of me. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. You got this. You got this. This is pure in spirit. Poor in spirit. You got this, God. Let me hold your hand. Amen. Come back tonight. We're going to have an awesome time with those youngins. I'm excited. I'm already excited. I'm pumped up, ready to go. Y'all come on, bring people with you. It's going to be fun. We had an absolute blast last time. Y'all ready to go home? Go home and get ready so you can come back. Amen. God's awesome. All the time. Awesome. Brother Wayne, will you just dismiss us in prayer, please?